Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this seventh Sunday of Easter. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And this morning, we will hear the Gospel from St. Mark and talk about the relationship between baptism and faith. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
There's a lot to consider before deciding to marry, before entering into a lifelong relationship. Honest and intense examinations of each other's weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, and education are a major part of an engaged encounter weekend. Other issues should be talked about as well. Money, intimacy, children, family, the relationships of each party with God, and their roles in the church. Corpus Christi Catholic Engaged Encounter is for couples preparing for marriage in the church, whether or not they're already married civilly. Several such Engaged Encounter weekends are scheduled through December at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana. For available dates and more information, call the Diocese Family Life Office, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/familylife.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. And you? Happy Ascension Sunday.
I know. It is our, even though it does say it's the seventh Sunday of Easter, we are celebrating the Ascension Sunday today.
Right. As you know, Ascension used to be celebrated on a Thursday, which was 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus, which is in accordance to the scripture, was stayed on earth 40 days before he ascended to heaven. However, the bishops and many countries have moved it to Sunday so that more of us will participate in this great celebration, this great feast day.
And be able to hear this beautiful gospel. So as I mentioned, the gospel today is from St. Mark, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this gospel almost seems like the end, but it's really not.
It's the beginning.
It is the beginning, because he has, since his resurrection, Jesus has made appearances and been with his disciples, but now he leaves them, but he's telling them to go out into the world and proclaim the gospel.
Right. You know, in many religious communities, or what we would call in the Catholic Church, the great founders of religious communities, you know, if you look at their histories. And I say this only as an analogy to this, from what you were saying, this is the end, but it's the beginning.
Right.
In their history, when a founder is still alive and still present, people tend to refer to that person. Because they're so engaged in the charism that the person has. And it's like, you know, it's like someone's father, someone's mother. You don't want to let go of them. And yet when they do leave us, for whatever reason, mainly through death, there's a shock, a moment of shock, which we know that the disciples and the apostles had that at first, because they were they didn't know where to go. They were rudderless, you might say, in many ways, because they were relied so much on Jesus. And during these 40 days of his appearances, he taught them so many more things about themselves. But he was empowering them, the great word we use today, to empower people. But he was, in many ways, empowering them with what he had given them, that would be in them. And so if you look again back at these religious communities, when the founder dies, there is a great shock to the community. And some never get over it, unfortunately. Right. Some never get over it. But those that do begin to see that they have the responsibility to take the charism that they share in, because they encountered this charism through this person and the spirituality that goes with that, and that charism now carries on in the disciples, in those who have been called really by God to share in that particular spiritual way of life. And I think that analogy that we have is certainly operative here with the ascension. Obviously, don't leave us.
Right.
You left us once with the death on the cross, but then you rose and you've been with us now 40 more days in a different way, in a risen form. But now through these 40 days, being strengthened and confirmed in their faith, confirmed in the resurrection of Jesus, it's like, don't leave us again. But it happens. Of course, you know, right. Jesus returns to the Father with this great feast of the ascension. But in that, as we will see in next Sunday with Pentecost, that he gives his spirit to them to empower them so that his life can be spread and lived in so many ways. And so he says, go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So there again, they had a responsibility, not just to keep it for themselves. Religion is not a private matter just for me. It has a responsibility with it. And so to go and to baptize, to go and to bring the good news of Christ and to bring the salvation, the forgiveness of sins that Christ won for us on the cross is a responsibility. And so when you're talking about at your introduction of the relationship between baptism and faith, you know, baptism has to be brought to life. It's not just a personal gift, which it is, for our salvation, which it is, but it's also responsibility. It's an empowerment to go. And that's why I think it's so profound. And it's in more simple forms now at the end of the Mass, go forth. The Mass is ended. Go proclaim the gospel. Go. It's that go, go, go. Take what you have received, take what is gift for you, and bring it to others.
And when I hear that too, it's not necessarily who can read scripture and proclaim scripture, because not all of us can remember all of that. Some right. have the gift and some don't, but it's by our actions.
It's witness, absolutely. It's witness is so primary. And if we don't do that, and as I said last week, you know, this whole era that we're living in with the religious freedom issue that we're having to deal with, it's a call to live our faith. It's a call not just to sit back and say, well, I'm baptized, and shake my hands and let the priests and the sisters and those that are involved do stuff. But no, even if we're not in some kind of church ministry, we all have the ministry of bringing Christ to others wherever we are. By the simplest gestures. I mean, I think people make living their faith way too complicated. It's the simplest of things. I know, and I'm hoping sure that they're listening today, the inmates at the McConnell unit with St. Dismas Community, who wrote to me recently and told me they were listening, and I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, even there, you are ministers to each other. You're ministers to the guards that are there, to the other prisoners. I mean, we are not excused from witnessing to our faith in any venue, no matter where we are. If you remember the great story of Cardinal Francois Van Tuan, who was the Archbishop of Saigon before the fall, and he was put in prison, and is an incredible story. I mean, I was privileged to hear him tell it personally. He was imprisoned, and they had to keep changing the guards because he kept converting them, in the sense that he was just friendly to them. He loved them and asked their names, asked about their families, and they just began to talk to him. And so they could.
He cared about them.
He cared about them, but he was seeing Christ in them, you know.
Right.
And so he entered into this relationship with them. And the uppity-ups realized that they were all kind of getting soft on him, and so they had to keep changing him out. But this, that is the message of go into the world after the ascension. What Jesus has given us, as he said in the gospel last Sunday, what I have received from the Father, now I've given it to you. And so today with the Feast of the Ascension, now go and give this to others. So wherever we are, the point is, wherever we are, there is someone to whom we can witness that Christ is alive in us. And especially as a community, we can witness that he is among us. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. That is a presence of Christ that is very real if we love one another.
Mm-hmm. It's doing those small, simple acts, either individually or as a group. Bishop, I wanted to ask you about and we can probably continue this after the break also, but at the very end of the gospel, he talked about, he confirmed the word through accompanied signs. You had mentioned before, of course, next week is Pentecost. I'm wondering if he says this, you know, is like coming attractions, you know, right. of what Pentecost is going to mean to the
right.
disciples next week.
Well, of course, he says there that, but they went forth and they preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them. So in other words, he had not abandoned them. He was with them. They couldn't see him, of course, but he's risen. So he's with them as he is with us, and confirmed the word. In other words, what he had said to them and what they took in as his word through accompanying signs. So you see conversions. I would say an accompanying sign in the life of Cardinal Vantoine was the way that these guards were touched, you know, because it's the love that this simple little man showed, who was a prisoner, a prince of the church, and yet a prisoner right. in a secular world. The accompanying work of that love that he showed them was their own touching of their heart.
Right.
By God's work. So he worked, Christ worked with him, through him, in him, and with him to reach other people. And who knows, I always think of those, when I think of his story, I think of those guards today. Where are they? You know, they might be one of them in the seminary. Who knows, you know,
right.
how they
exactly.
were touched by that simple gesture, that simple man.
And decided maybe to do something different with their lives because they had a different calling.
Right, do something beautiful for God instead right. of something else. So it's that accompanying work, you know, the certain miracles that do happen in our own lives. I think we're too blinded to those things. We look for the great manifestations of miracles, you know, the changing of different colors and stuff, but maybe there's little miracles that we don't see that are happening all the time, in the change of an attitude, the new direction of one's life. I mean, this is the accompanying of that word lived by us, living especially the word to love our neighbor, and these are the accompanying signs, the fruits, you might say, the fruits of living.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we heard about that a couple of weeks ago about the
the vine and the branches,
vine. Yeah, exactly. All right, we are going to take a short break, and then we will continue our conversation on faith. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
If you desire a firmer foundation for your life, to foster unity in Christ, and love to interact with those of other Christian faiths, want to build the Christian faith and community, want a fulfilling and consuming experience with the Lord, then a journey to Damascus may be what you're needing. For a complete understanding and schedule of Journey to Damascus weekends, visit journeytodamascus.org for more information. It's a rummage sale filled with bargains. The Mercedarian Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament will hold a very special rummage sale on Saturday, May 26th, at 1723 Frio Street. From 8 a.m. till 2 p.m., you can browse the furniture, appliances, and household items for the ones you need or for someone else in need. For complete information, call Sister Agnes, 854-2370.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, before the break, we were talking about faith and accompanying signs and, you know, how Jesus was with the disciples and then, you know, of course, was ascending into heaven. And you mentioned it a little bit beforehand, but about religious freedom. And during Lent, you and Father Tom Norris had that wonderful conversation on conscience. And mm-hmm. I know personally, it was very awakening to me to really kind of step back and listen and really think and contemplate about what our roles are, not just with religious freedom, but how our actions are and, you know, if we're really looking inside our hearts mm-hmm. to do the right thing. So with all that, today, where can we be witness to what is going on now and do the right thing?
That's a very probing question and very, very deep and profound. And I think it's something that we're all, I know I am still working on personally as a teacher, you know, the faith here in the diocese. And I do want to pause just for a moment and say that I am preparing with the staff and the priests of the diocese to really celebrate this fortnight of prayer and vigilance for religious freedom. And so just so everybody can pre-note their calendars, that will be between the 21st of June until the 4th of July, taking in some religious celebrations or feast days of Christians who have put their life on the line for freedom. And, of course, the celebration of the 4th of July, which is a civil holiday right. for us, where people declared their freedom as well. So I think freedom is certainly on the front lines right now as we look at referring back to the level of conscience, but how we can bring that into the area of protecting freedom. And so if everybody, you'll look for some events that will be happening between the 21st and the 4th here in the diocese and in your parishes. But I think, you know, it's brought to light some true issues, I think, for us. I've had a chance to go back and read the document on religious freedom from the Second Vatican Council. And I think when you're studying a document in theory, you think, oh, that's nice. You know, that's nice theory. When will that ever touch me?
And then you need to put it into practice.
Right. Because back in those days when you read it, when I read it back in the 70s, it was, of course, about communism and the countries behind what we called the Iron Curtain right. and all these things. But now you're faced with it ourselves. And what is the core value here that needs to be protected through freedom, religious freedom, but all freedoms, is the dignity of the human person. And that, you know, when John Paul II speaks of the theology of the body, I mean, it boils down to the dignity of the person. We're not a thing. We're not some kind of anonymous glob of cells. You know, we are a person, a unique person with a personality and with a soul. And so that is the basic life that each one of us has. The basic life that each one of us has is filled with dignity. And so we have to protect that dignity. And so this is also a pro-life, respect life issue as well. Because if you don't respect the freedom of a person to worship God and to express, and this is the real crux of this issue, to worship God, but to be able to express that freedom in works of charity, in works of mercy, et cetera, et cetera. Right. Because what's happening, and maybe when we just hear these things on the news, and this is why the church, and I'm asking everyone to inform themselves. In fact, the next issue of the South Texas Catholic will have an entire letter. It's quite lengthy, but I would really recommend you read it. It's from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, from the Subcommittee on Religious Freedom, really outlining the issues here. But the issue is with this mandate from the Health and Human Services of the United States government, our present administration, is that you can worship, but your worship is in your house of worship. In other words, it is religion is almost defined as going to church. Period. Amen. But what we just talked about in the first part of our program is go into the world.
Right.
And that's where they're putting the skids on us, mm-hmm. by imposing these mandates on contraceptives and abortifacients that are being demanded to be put into our insurance policies, which we are self-insured. As long as you're only working with your own people in the church, et cetera, but once you get into hospitals, so we have Spahn Hospital, once you get into education, so we have our Catholic schools, John Paul II, Incarnate Word, once you get into Catholic Charities, so helping people, that's not worship. So they are going to be mandated to include these services in their health insurance, which is against our conscience. Going back to what right. Father Tom and I talked about, it is a squeeze on our conscience. How can I worship on Sunday and not live my faith the rest
of the week,
you know, 24/7? Because feeding the hungry, teaching others the faith, helping the homeless,
feeding the hungry,
et cetera,
right.
is part of my faith. I can't separate. That's my faith doing. So it's not just kneeling on my knees. And as long as I'm doing that, I'm exempt. It's these other issues. And again, as I know I've done this before, but I want to reiterate, this is not an issue of the church saying that these contraceptives, it's not about those that
not a,
issue.
Yeah,
that's
not about
not
birth
the
control.
Issue. Now, whether we haven't changed our teaching on that at
right.
all, but that's not the issue. The issue is we are being told that anything outside of, let's say, going to church on Sunday is not religion. And that is entering into the expression of my faith that of our faith that is strong, is very strong. And any Catholic, of course, that is a small business owner and offers insurance is going to have to provide all these things too. So it's asking a Catholic man or a Catholic woman that owns their own business to go against their conscience to provide these things to their in their insurance policies. It's just absurd.
And it's the first step.
Absolutely.
And there could be
it
more.
Is
and
a
not,
slippery slope.
And it's not just a Catholic
right,
issue either.
Right.
Because we talked about it before on the Lenten series. How do we know down the road it's not going to touch other religions?
Something else, sure.
You know,
absolutely.
Because we, our country, we have a lot of
Well,
religions.
It already is. And I think this letter that will come out, you'll see how this has been present in many areas. And I wish I could remember the quote exactly, but I'll attempt it anyway. And our listeners will be very merciful. But it was from Carl Anderson in the a beautiful letter that, or a beautiful speech that he gave at a National Catholic Breakfast with about 900 people a few weeks ago, and he sent each of us a copy of it. But he said that the more that we, I can't remember if it's one way or the other, but the more that we experience a spiritual awakening, or maybe it's the other way around, the more that we realize the depth and the need for freedom, the more depth in our spiritual life will be awakened. And that's why I've said before that I think this issue is awakening in us the meaning of our faith, things that we take for granted. The fact that you or I can go to Mother Teresa's shelter, to Catholic Charities, or go to the hospital and do volunteer work as a part of our faith, that's going to all be questioned. That's not, you know, it's like a definition that the government's now trying to give us. That's not your faith. That's just volunteerism. So there's no exemptions from our mandates. And so what else are they going to mandate, mm-hmm. You know, with that? But he was saying that the more that we are aware of the depth of religious freedom and what it means to us, the more spiritual we become. Or it could be the other way. The more spiritual we are, the more we realize the importance of religious freedom and how any incursion, any kind of stepping into that is a violation of our human rights under the Constitution, which has the obligation to protect me as a human person, you as a human person, which is also a person of faith, and also a violation of our conscience. So it's violating both.
Right. And well, when you hear about it, it makes you step back and say, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Right. And that's where our conversation on conscience came in. There's what's wrong with this picture?
Right. The picture is very skewed, but it's very dangerous and it's frightening. So all the bishops, hopefully all of them will do it in every diocese from the 21st of June.
So this is nationally.
This is national from June the 21st until the 4th of July, which is significant. So you have the religious, because it's interesting, Barbara, in that 21st on, there's the death of St. John Fisher, who was a martyr, St. Thomas More, obviously a martyr of conscience, John the Baptist, St. Peter, St. Paul. So we have all these great martyrs, the first martyrs of Rome.
Heavyweights.
Yeah, all the first early martyrs of the church in Rome,
right,
who are willing to give their life for the freedom to worship Christ. And then July 4th, which is the civil holiday, to protect these freedoms. So it's a beautiful time period that we're having civil and religious freedom that we're focused on. I want to come back to the ascension. What does this have to do with ascension? The Lord Jesus has empowered us to live his life in the world today, to not be of it, to not conform to it, ergo our conscience, but to be a part of it, to protect the dignity of every human person from the womb until natural death. And when freedom is threatened, it threatens the dignity of life. It threatens the dignity of life in the womb, the life in a prison, the life of someone at the end of their life, the sick, the elderly. We're all, in a certain sense, and who knows what the future could be, through a secularized, which means no God, a secularized order that seems to be creeping in, and the bishops are committed to stand up for this, and we invite all of our people and others to stand with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity for all of us, and as we go through the next couple of weeks, Bishop, we look forward to hearing more details about what we can do and how we can participate.
Sure.
So if you could please end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Graciously hear our supplications, O Lord, so that we who believe that the Savior of the human race is with you in your glory may experience, as he promised until the end of the world, his abiding presence among us, who live and reign with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.